Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Yeah, I thought about it. What's in that blog that radio on the Christian Guard? No, it's live from South Carolina. That's the blog. Be down here so that my grandkids and family down here. While they're here, could have here in certain days. Still back in the Big Apple. It may be a little different than here. Still, the I'm a feeling still there's gonna have some hot days here. If I gotta check Augusta as we go back to New York today, still there's some hot days there down in South Carolina. It's been cool, nicely cool to a certain degree. As always say, this time of year, this year was quick. In our summer, the pandemic came, March, and you couldn't go here, you couldn't go there. When you could go, boom, it was time to leave. Couple of football, basketball, industrial, little boxing always. Adrian Peterson, one of the greatest running backs of all time, was cut by the Washington Redskins. That's too, but that's what he is there too. Got the little inside tip though that the Detroit Lions picked him up. So he's going to Detroit. We're looking at the success of the playoff. Lakers lost their first playoff game. I think it's 6 out of the last 7 games that did happen, so that's no sort of alarm, especially when you got 4 of them to play. And, the Milwaukee Bucks have 1 more to play. They're going to win that one. They will not be playing anymore. Doc Stanley Sports, the podcast radio on the Trust in Government Network. Talking about noise with Dusty. Just really opening up on a Sunday with our gospel song, Sam Cooke.
Yeah,
the
there was a woman in the Bible.
She had
been sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She cried, no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said, it was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I
And with that, an opening prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, another waking up, as my mother says, last night laying down, this morning getting up, waking up clothed in our right mind. We thank you, Lord, for food on our table, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back, and living to see another day during this pandemic. We thank you for debt that was paid, that wasn't made a long time ago. Watch out. We thank you for goodness and mercy. All things. In the name of the darling Son, Jesus. Amen.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media. And you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, that's to me and you for a good 20 solid minutes here. So,
yeah, how are you doing?
Hey, Dust, you know, you came yesterday. We talked about it. Last Sunday this time we heard the passing of John Thompson, the great coach, Big John, at Georgetown, and who put that school on the map, not from institutional learning, but putting that program together, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Allen Iverson, making him a powerhouse, and the first black coach, Dusty, to win an NCAA championship.
Exactly. He was a rival of the little guy, Conoseca, from St. John.
Yeah, from St. John.
They always battled
each
other. And I mean, Conoseca said something beautiful. He says, he was my biggest rival, but I loved him like a brother. And can you imagine Mutton Jeff? But they were good friends. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I remember, Louis used to always wear, as opposed to other coaches wearing a suit and tie, he would wear a sweater. Well, one game, when they played in the Garden, Thompson comes over, pulls back his jacket. He's got the same sweater that Louis has on.
Exactly. And Colin Sacker said he took that as a sign of respect or honor or something. I mean, I forgot the exact words.
It
was a big joke sports-wise, but Thompson was not mocking him. He was just saying, hey, we're brothers. We're going to fight for this, whatever the heck it was, and he wore the same sweater.
Wore the same sweater, Louis Nopas. Also, we turn around and we look at that happening, and the next day, the franchise, the best right-handed pitcher of his generation. Probably, one question, the best right-hander of one of the top best players of all time. And you talk about George Thomas Seaver. The thing that, being a New Yorker, we got to see him come here, rookie year 1967, Cy Young, Cy Young Awards.
Cy Young Award and so many thousands of strikeouts. But, it's funny, you go back in history, 1969 Mets, when they started the World Series with against Baltimore. He lost in Baltimore. I was so furious at him. I said, you punked out of Baltimore, man. I don't want to. I was so. He was built, he was the starting pitcher, I think it was. Yeah, he was. And then he said, how the hell can you let Baltimore beat you? I was so angry at him. But then, of course, he came back and redeemed himself. But I never forget that time when he got beat. I was so angry. I didn't want to watch his next pitch. But, I mean, his next pitching cycle. But it was good. It was a good game. And the Meschio, and when Cleon Jones made the last catch.
The fly ball in left field. Yep.
Against the right fielder who became the outfielder who became the manager of the Mets. I forget his name. And, my memory sucks at times. He became the manager of the Mets. That when the Mets won in 73. Oh, my God.
David Johnson?
David Johnson. Jesus Christ. David Johnson.
Yeah, David Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Cleon Jones made the last catch. He flied out to Cleon Jones, and then David Johnson became the manager of the Mets in 73 when they won the World Series. But, there was a lot of history.
Sure.
And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was upset because of the fact that Tom Seaver had put together a winery, was successful and this, that, and the other. Then all of a sudden he started getting dementia, and then all of a sudden he was afflicted with Lyme disease. I said, damn, of all diseases, you know, and then, you know, he finally passed away, pre-existing conditions, coronavirus. I said, I'll be damned.
Once again, pointing to the big clown in the White House.
Hitler in the White House.
As more disdain than toward him, because you look at this, see the passing away at 75. He's the only guy too with 300 wins, 3,000 strikeouts, and a 2-something under ERA. I think only him and Christy Mathewson.
Exactly.
And you're going way back a while. Had that kind of thing, and my thing too is there's a lot of just like when I'm pointing the finger at the jerk at the White House because if this disease doesn't come about, maybe, and then it can be the hard time, but you don't want to put the pin there on this happening being part of what took him out.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Tom Seaver did at one time had a no hitter. Was it? Did he one or two no hitters?
Oh yeah. He won a no hitter. Pitching for Cincinnati.
Right, exactly. No hitter.
He was close to the no hitter with the Mets. Mm. I think the guy's name was Mike Hoyle. Got a hit off of him.
Mike.
Chicago. broke up the no hitter.
Yeah.
And Seaver did pitch a no hitter for the Cincinnati Reds. Struck out 19 batters in the game.
Exactly.
Was the first pitcher, if I could correct that one. The Cy Young Award that didn't win 20 games. I remember he won 19 games and he
something
won
the
Cy Young Award.
Yeah, something in the teens.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the teens. But his average
was 19. Yeah, it was 19. Yeah. When you talk about Cleon Jones, Doc Sandy Sports and the Blog Talk Radio and the Trust in God. Never live from my soccer line. So, Cleon Jones, who caught that last night, I remember people don't remember. Cleon Jones was the oddity. Like Richie Henderson. People forget Richie Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Was a left-handed fielder, but a right-handed batter.
Yeah,
and
right-handed batter.
And Ricky talked about that baseball didn't like to draft those kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
For some particular, I don't care what the guy did, but it was odd. You saw Ricky bat right-handed, and you go out into the field and he caught left-handed. But Ricky said,
exactly.
all the other kids batted right-handed, so he batted right-handed. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's also. He started stealing bases because, he wanted to be a football player. Mother didn't want to be a football player, but then started playing baseball. He was coming home, and hey, Dusty, the clean uniforms, hey, you sure you're going to the game? You know what I mean? And so teachers started paying to start stealing bases and come home with the dirty uniform. And, he has the most stolen bases in the history of baseball. And when he stole third base, breaking the all-time stolen base record, he pulled the base up, held it over his head, and said, "I am the greatest." Not
this is my
himself. But in recognition of his idol Muhammad Ali, that's why he did it. You know, you never know the story. You don't believe what you see. Yeah, and he picked it up, and that's it. Dr. Finney's watching the block. Dr. Finney's touching the guy. Me and Dusty.
Remember the anecdote with Ricky Henderson? He would catch the ball in the outfield and wave his hand. Remember when he used to do that?
Yeah,
he used to catch a fly ball and just swap.
Yeah, he would snatch it out the air.
Yeah, a lot
he
of kids would try to do that literally. That was funny. Well, he left a good impression, man. He was never in any problems, never did this. He did everything great. Yeah, great.
I remember signing autographs for the kids, nothing too
good
from my people.
Right.
Always was with a brother looking for black folks. And And you know what's remarkable about him? Dr. Stanley Sports and the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God, and it's something that kind of infuriates you. He's got 2,999 hits.
Mm-hmm.
And the San Diego Padres are sitting him on the bench. How is a manager not letting this guy go? And you know, and Ricky said, you should have kind of got Ricky with. Ricky said, well, you know, Tony Gwynn's got three guys hit. I don't know when to get in the way. And Tony's telling him, well, you're not getting in my way, man. You got to get one more hit to get. I got my 3,000. Yeah. Go out there and get yours, you know?
Exactly.
And then finally they played him. But, I mean, my thing is, Dusty, how could you be sitting a guy on the bench when you know he's got that kind of milestone? And you know, let's go to the systematic way things work. If he's a white guy, you're playing him. If he's a black guy, you're not playing him? How can you not be playing a guy that has one hit away from 3,000 hits?
Well, Doc, you're talking about something that happened with the Yankees. Dave Winfield and Donnie Don Baseball. Okay. Donnie Don Baseball had hit his mark. I think it was a batting title between him and Dave Winfield, man. And Donnie Don, whatever his name is, he got his hit, and Torrey sat him down. And what happens... Dave Winfield strikes out or grounds out, and he missed getting that batting title, and Don got the batting title. Remember that? And Torrey sat him down. So this is a manager playing games. Yeah, a manager playing games.
I remember that situation. The problem there was the manager didn't sit.
He sat down, Manny down, because the commentators were saying,
But the big issue was the fans not going behind both players and siding with Dottie. They were saying, you guys are teammates. These guys are both Yankees. So how are you rooting for? You know, once again, Dusty, how are you rooting for the white guy and not rooting for the black guy too?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, because then the manager, Torrey, played to the audience. He should have not played to the audience. And this is exactly what you always got to deal with the pale-faced nation, you know, and the suntan.
Pale-faced nation. Well, you remind me of that great joke they talk about the Lone Ranger and Tunnel. They say they're riding along.
Later for you later.
And then they're surrounded by hundreds of Indians. And Lone Ranger turns to Tonto and says, well, Timo Sali, looks like we're at the end of our road. And Tonto says, hey, what do you mean we, pale face?
Exactly. What do you mean we, pale face? Those are my people.
What's happening to the world of boxing now?
Tonight we got some interesting. A Cuban, he's a sloppy freaking dude. But he did give Sean Porter a hard way to go for 12 rounds. Ugas, I forget his first name. But he's a good welterweight, still packing on the hold on a second.
Dr. Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio. And you've been talking to...
It's Ugas, and he is fighting in a welterweight championship fight. And a guy named Abel Ramos, another good fighter.
Okay.
Udonis Ugas, yes. And he's Chapman's buddy from Cuba, the pitcher from the Yankees.
Okay.
And then we got some other guys. Preliminary. The thing is that the promoters are getting smart. The promoters are putting together bouts. I mean, here you got the Charlo brothers, who I don't give too much credit to, but they're world champs. One is a junior middleweight. He got it back from Tommy Morrison, and then the older brother, who's a middleweight, that. Listen to this. They're fighting on the same card, twin brothers. Doc, it's a pay-per-view. I said, are you serious? these guys warrant pay-per-view, but that's what the promoters, that's a, how, where the promoters are reeking in their money. No audience. You know, so what they're doing is they're making these fights, and they are legitimate championship fights. They're making them pay-per-view. Of course, we got this classic coming. Yeah, they got this classic with Spencer and Danny Garcia.
Danny Garcia.
Which is, I'm on the fence, but I'll accept the pay-per-view status because they're both quality guys. And then Spencer, Sean Porter says, well, I want the winner. But then Sean Porter is shooting himself in the foot. He looked good last week, but he's shooting himself on the foot instead of going after Manny Pacquiao. I would give Sean Porter a chance to be Pacquiao and take Pacquiao's title. Why go after the winner of Spence and Danny Garcia? He fought them both. You know why? Why? Because he beat Danny, and to me, he killed Spence. Maybe that's what he's looking for. But man, go after Pacquiao. Pacquiao has a title.
Maybe in a case like this, well, I'm saying in this case, he's back. The first fight that comes up, take it. Now, that means Garcia again. But I'm thinking, you know, what we have to understand too, Dusty, is just wait a minute. You know what? I forgot. Pacquiao is not with Top Rank no more. I thought about the difficulty. Yeah, because he's not with Jay Free. Okay, so you know what? That's a shot. That's a good shot. I was thinking how hard it is to work with Aram from that perspective, trying to get a fight.
Yeah.
But it just hit me that Pacquiao is no longer with Top Rank.
No, he's doing his own promotion. I think he's either broke off with Freddie Roach or Freddie Roach's assistant. Pacquiao, or the little Filipino guy who worked the corner.
Now, Dusty, I heard they broke off and they got back together. Now they broke off again?
Oh, no. They got back together again. Well, then they are together. I'm talking about past history when he broke off from Aaron. Roach, you know. And then Manny DeSodio, the little fat dude, boy, he's the one that's training you, Manny Pacquiao. But in the corner, when he beat Keith Thurman, Freddie Roach was there. So you're right.
Hold on. Speaking of Keith Thurman challenged Crawford, and he's waiting to hear from Crawford.
Are you serious? God, well, man.
Gilberto Ortiz, our man from working on boxing on the Latin side.
Oh, you mean Judy?
He challenged out. Junebug got the inside scoop from me. You know, hey, Dusty, you ain't the only one with Latin connections now, baby. Calm down. I know you got Consuela, Enrique, you know what I mean, and Juanito Jr. Back off, baby. You ain't the only one with some Latin connections yet, baby. Me, amigo.
Junebug, okay. We had a long talk the other day. He called me for my sister, and we had a long talk. He says, Dusty, stay on YouTube. All the gossip is coming out on YouTube. So he's right. But man, if that's true, that's a hell of a
thing. Russell, I think Gary Russell. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? Gary Russell told Crawford, look at here, I'll come up 2 weight classes to fight you. Let's do some.
I heard that too. Yeah.
Dusty, quit lying. I heard that too. Listen, Consuelo told you that already. Come on, Consuelo already told you.
Because there's a rivalry between Crawford and Russell in the amateurs, I believe.
I think Russell
beat him, or he beat Russell. I mean, there's a history between the two of them.
There's some bad blood.
Like the Hatfields and McCoys.
Dusty, don't worry. At this point of the day, it ain't a children's show. You can say bad blood, okay?
I don't see Russell do it. But, I mean, sure, he'll do it. But Russell is fast. But this Crawford, I mean, you know, Bob Arum, I mean, he's a BSC hustler. He was staying, he was complaining every day, oh, man, nobody, Spence doesn't want to come out of the cave and fight my boy Crawford. But the real scuttlebutt, it was Aaron who was playing the games, man.
See, now I understand why Crawford's been on the freeze because of, you know, I mean, Aaron's known to do these things. Now, listen, he's great with us for interviews, he's great for news, but he's known to do this. And I just remember so vividly.
He freezes you, man.
Well, not only that, the Trinidad-De La Hoya fight. And
oh,
I remember
my
Don
God,
King,
yes.
Then DK, we're down at Pier 17, Dusty, and DK told me, I gave Aaron everything he wanted for this fight. Whatever he wanted, I gave with the understanding that when my man beats your man, this is such a good deal, we're going to flip it. The rematch is going to be, I'm going to get what you got, and you're going to get what I got.
Exactly.
And there was never a rematch. Never a rematch. So,
you were there that day when Tim Bradley came out of the woodwork to fight Pacquiao. And Tim Bradley says, I asked him, well, you were there. I said, well, how did you were able to wrangle this? I said, look, I had to sign a 2-year promotion with Bob Arum to get Pacquiao. I said, holy crap. And sure enough, Bob Arum had Tim Bradley. He must have had a premonition because that was the time when Bradley beat Pacquiao. Close, but he beat him. But he was now under Bob Arum. And when Margarito was fighting, and he had a title, and oh my God, oh Jesus,
Cotto,
Miguel Cotto, and so I told Bob, I said, man, that was great, you're having a unification, you know, you and finally Margarito's getting Cotto like he wants it, now you're gonna have a unification one time. He said, no, for him to fight Cotto. He had to give up his title. I'm telling you. He had to give up his title. What happened?
No, like you said, this is great. You know, you get the unification bout and Bob to
win. Oh, yeah. No. For him to get a shot at Cotto, he has to give up his title. Now, I'm going to create a tournament for the vacant title. Sure, it was Zab Judah and another one of his boys, Cloudy. And Zab Judah was beating the crap out of Cloudy, but guess who won the decision? Cloudy. So now he had two welterweight champs, plus Margarito on the contract, plus Tim Bradley and Pacquiao, who you know the history. They all fought each other. It was a round robin. They all fought each other. This is how the man works. So now with Crawford, I mean, Crawford is, when was the last time he fought? Oh, my God. He hasn't fought anybody. But I would advise him to take Gary Russell because that'll get his, you know, his rust out, I mean, his little kinks out, you know, because of the fact that who's he going to fight? Nobody. He has nobody.
I told you, but Keith Thurman is calling him out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Who was that?
Keith Thurman is calling Crawford out.
And Keith Thurman. Yeah, but is Bob Arum going to take a chance with Keith Thurman instead of going after little kid Russell? let me tell you, Gary Russell's speed, oh, my Lord, this fast. He might give Crawford a hard way to go. Despite the weight advantage and all that, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. But his speed alone would be enough to beat Crawford, especially Crawford, who hasn't fought in how many umpteens, you know. But if Keith Thurman wants to fight, I think I would lead with Keith Thurman against Crawford. Okay. Even though I know that Pacquiao gave him a beating, but I think Keith Thurman will be just a little better than Crawford, you know. So we'll see. But I mean, so the fights are going on now. We still have waiting for the rematch with Deontay and Tyson Fury. you know, I really don't want that fight to see him because Deontay took such a beating. It was pitiful. I really, you know, as much as I criticized him, I felt compassion for him because he showed up. He showed what I've been telling you for years, Doc. He's not a fighter. He was helpless. Without that right hand, he was helpless.
You were never in his corner. The thing you gave him, which you cited when it was his ability to hit you with that atomic right hand, which erased all errors about questions.
Exactly.
No, he could be losing
the block
fight,
right
here. Listen, what saved him in that first fight against Fury was dropping Fury in the last round.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It saved that fight, but he lost that fight because when Fury got up,
exactly,
that showed me that he was going to beat him in the ring. Because Fury, for all intents and purposes, won that fight. But he made it a draw, but that showed Fury.
Right.
He already knew that this boy couldn't beat him, and he beat him in the rematch.
Yeah, because Fury knew he beat him in the first fight to save Wilder. They called it a draw. I've had some idiots, boxing idiots, who were telling me, "Oh no, Wilder won that fight. Look at the knockdown in the 12th round." Well, what the hell were you watching in the first 11 rounds, man? Fury slapped the shit out of him. I gave Fury 7 solid rounds. I always call one other round even, but then I remembered that Wilder had hit the most, had thrown the most effective hurting punches, almost knocking down Fury. So I gave him that with reservation. But then when he flattened Fury in the 12th round, I figured, oh crap. He caught up to him in the last round of all rounds. But when I saw Fury get up, I said, oh, my Lord. And I called that not a 10-8 round. I called it a 10-9 round because when Deontay rushed with his cocked right hand and his left hand was low to finish up Fury, Fury threw a right hand. I caught him on the temple and stopped him in his tracks. And then it became a you hit me and I hit you until the end of the bell. Up until the end of the fight.
You know, when you say that, what Fury did that remind you of what Marciano did against Jersey Joe?
Yeah, in a sense, yes. In a sense, yes.
Because
of the fact that here, Jersey Joe was eating him for food, for pasta lunch. But Marciano came back and started this furious comeback. But unfortunately, you know, Walcott's arm got, man, I see that every, not every day, but when I think about it, if Walcott had connected that right hand punch instead of it getting hooked up on the top strand of the ropes, history would have been remade because Marciano was walking into him. And when he went to throw that right hand, he got stuck. And Marciano threw his right hand and caught him clean. I said, oh, my God, what a rotten. And then he hung up there like a washed up curtains on the ropes as Marciano hit him with the left hook when he was on his knees. But Walcott gave him a tremendous fight, you know. But the thing is that then you look at Fury, he told him, look, you're talking all this smack. I'm going to knock you out in 3 rounds. He kept saying 3 rounds. 3 rounds he kept showing Deontay Wilder. That must have gotten to Wilder's mind when he says, I'm so sure I'm going to knock you out. I beat you before. I'm going to knock you out in 3 rounds. That third round came in. You could see a tentative because he had already felt Fury's strength in the first 2 rounds. And Fury, remember, came in at least 20, 30 pounds heavier than the first fight. So he felt the man's weight. And when he hit him with those jabs, he felt those jabs. And then in that third round, he hit Wilder with two right hands, not hurting, but he felt his power. And then when I think in the, what is it, the fourth or fifth round, when he knocked Wilder down with a hook to the body, I said, oh,
right.
Man, I can't believe this crap. This guy really is going to beat him. And sure enough, man, what was it, a seventh round, eighth round knockout? I said, oh, my Lord. But I felt compassion. But then again, it's what I have been seeing from the very beginning. You only got a right hand, sucker. You only got a run. And as long as you can bully these dudes and mug them, you can get away with it. But no. That fight is still pending. You know, so we fortunately have the little guys to look forward to. You know, and you guys will be a good fight today because this Cuban dude, this South American who's going to fight has a good record. I think he's only lost one, has 20-odd KOs, you know, so it should be a good fight. But,
okay.
Well, yeah.
Hold on, Dustin. We're going to let Marvin Gaye has this say before we go on our way once again. Dr. Henry's posted at Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government. No, it's a Sunday. And we reflect on Georgetown receiver, Big John Thompson, talk a little boxing. And as we always do before we go on our way, Marvin Gaye has this to say. Dr. Henry's posted at Blog Talk Radio. Mr. Gaye, come on in here. Take us away here on another Sunday on Sports at Blog Talk Radio. On the Trust in God Radio Network.
Labor Day weekend.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow, no. Bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who is willing to try? To save a world that is destined to die. When I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. Little children today. Really suffer tomorrow.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
We can't stop living. Live for life. But let's live everybody. Live life for the children. To save a world,
destined to die.
You know, when I think about the
Marvin
Gaye closing this song, a lot of people don't know Marvin had went through a serious workout year where he was going to play for the Detroit Lions. And
yeah,
done some extensive work and everything. And that thought hit my mind when I hit me again that the great Adrian Peterson, is now signed with the Detroit Lions. And but the
why did they get rid of him? He was because of his age, or he just
Washington cut him, and remarkable that's because he gained over 2,000 yards, total yards.
That's what I was surprised. You know? I thought he was a keeper.
That's the story now. But but the coach of Detroit at that time felt it'd be a waste to have Marvin Gaye as a football player as opposed to what he could do as a singer. And he was right about that. And with that, okay, Dusty, I'll let you close it out. Tell everybody goodbye in Spanish. We're going to leave here.
One more footnote before we go is you and I, you serve your country. I think the Air Force, right? Yeah. And I served the Army in the Army. My brother, 2 combat tours in Vietnam. He was only 18, 19 years of age, man. And one of my sisters was in the Air Force. We served our country. And then we have this blonde Hitler condemning the soldiers, calling them stupid and losers. They got killed or maimed or, you know. And I asked myself, how in God's name this dude ever became president, knowing that he came with this history of criminality. And not, he took General Kelly, and his son was killed in the Middle East. And he said, I don't know why he got killed for. All these losers, and then Senator McCain, he got captured, and he's a loser. He's not a hero because he got captured. And I know that if he had been captured, even after he was a 5-time draft dodger, got deferment because he hurt his ankle playing lacrosse, and if he had been captured, he probably would have given up the whole blueprint and Navy invasion and the Air Force invasion. I'm telling you. the whole nomenclature and the weaponry that we have. I mean, my God, Jesus, are you kidding?
You have shown here. I've known here that you are a boxing historian. I had no idea you were such a great comedian. I had no idea.
I'm telling you, should be on Saturday Night Live. But anyway, Doc, take care. Look, enjoy the living.
Listen, so you can see in your secret code. Can you tell everybody goodnight in Spanish, please? Hey Dusty, hold on, Dusty. You saying Dusty? He would have told everything, Dusty.
Shit, blueprint, drawn a map, and in fact walked them through it. Go this way.
Say goodnight.
Buena noche, hermano, and a happy Labor Day. Todo mundo cuídense y God bless. Doc, later. Take care, baby.
Okay, right there. I'm telling you, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust. That's what I told you. We go from Sports in Depth into the world. Nobody's better than my crew, man. Oh, my goodness.
Later.
Doc, man.
Okay.
Thanks, Dusty.
Got you. Stanley,
take Sports
care.
In Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Yeah, a few moments of laughter and serious at the same time. And we get ready to close out this segment of Sports in Depth. And saluting all those in the military that have fought for a country who's made, so many who've paid the ultimate sacrifice. And, you're out there. And you have any thoughts and stuff, you can always call us at 646-200-0373. Thoughts and opinions will be some after air time, and we will be closing. with our normal closing, and that is here. Calm or cool, and get some in-depth reality to what was said. As they say so often, some food for thought. And we close with a little bit of Summer Madness. Our opening theme song by Kool and the Gang. They were much the jazzists. As I also said, it's the greatest piece of music ever done by them from a musical standpoint of view. It's some of the greatest music ever done by anybody, any of you. Dr. Kelly, Sports at the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Sports in Depth. Sports in Depth, Dr. Emily Stanley Sr., a.k.a. Helping Dr. Kelly, Sports Fox tonight, Dusty. The host, an in-depth performer of educational and national loops, the world of sports on his renowned and legendary award-winning radio show. Sports in Depth, diverging from both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look, perspective not only on the sports of our times, but two of the players and performers of said events, both now and yesteryear. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us the unique strategies of sports from an intellectual perspective. Not just athletics, because it takes raw, God-given talent and conditioning, it too takes a blessed mind filled with passion, determination, intellect, and leads to competing, competing, accomplishing too. And with in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect, the iconic sports posse, sports in depth to the world of death. Thanks for joining us once again, where we always rope the rumors, call out the issues, and bring the truth. Put in God anything but first is inexcusable and acceptable. You can be in the church and not be a part of the church. You can love someone and not need them. What you want and need are different. So obtain them both a blessing from God. Either one, two, a blessing. Give it all, you giving it your all, and not you giving it your best. Dr. Terry, words of wisdom and truth. Muhammad Ali, service to others, make your faith for human earth. Muhammad Ali says again, too. Never look down. It is a look to me. Dr. King, life's not consistent with urgent questions. What are you doing for others? Loretta Kimini, I am my brother's keeper. Nelson Mandela, my brother's criminal color. Dr. King, forgiveness not occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. Dr. Kenny, sports at the Blog Talk Radio, my trust in God and network. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, always, amen. Trust in God. Dr. Kenny, sports at the Blog Talk Radio, my trust in God and network. Trust in God.
I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
And what I say when it comes to Sports in Depth, as Queen Latifah says, don't be a stranger. We thank you, Mr. Rosen. Number one listener, welcome to Jonia. We miss so dearly. We hope you well. Prayers and thoughts out to her family and all across the world. Miss Rosen, we miss you.
Hello, stranger.
We're still about to go where you've been. Back then, it's supposed to be a Blog Talk Radio. Supposed to go out there.
It seems so good to see you back again.
My dad's favorite
artist. Tell me how long has it been?
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words, just barely visible, "In God we trust." I held it for a moment. Then suddenly I knew what God and all his wisdom would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the master's hand.
Oh, in God we trust, in God we trust, we're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust."
Oh, in God we trust, in God we trust, we're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
Help me, please.